Hey everybody, this is the Interstate of Music podcast, and with me today is Cynthia Cao, all the way out in Los Angeles, and she's got some cool projects, and I'm going to have her kind of speak to them a little bit, but one of the things that I really want to know, you know, kind of get inside her head a little bit is about this whole, you know, metaverse world that people have talked about, heard about. I certainly don't know enough about it. And I'm hoping to find out some information. But Cynthia, welcome to the podcast. And I just want to kind of say, you know, you are into some unique and interesting, cutting edge, you know, up with technology projects. And I want you to talk to it. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Jeff. Yes,
you bet.
Love talking about it. Yes.
So where are you originally from?
So originally I'm from China.
Okay.
But I came to the United States when I was 12 years old. So I grew up in Los Angeles since
then. So you actually came to Los Angeles, stayed in Los Angeles. You're still in Los Angeles. And are you loving Los Angeles?
Oh yeah, I love it. It's one of the favorite city.
No doubt. And have you gotten a chance to, you know, just kind of travel around to other parts of the country and see what it's all about for you to say that Los Angeles is like as cool as you're saying it is?
Yes, I've been to enough places.
Yeah. And if you've been to Wisconsin during the winter, you know this isn't the coolest place to be in the winter, that's for sure.
Well, like my hometown is very cold also, so it's like negative 30 degrees Celsius during the winter.
Oh,
like
you get it.
I understand that.
Yeah, so you totally get it. So tell me a little bit about, you know, what you're doing now. And then I kind of want to find out a little bit about what kind of drove you to go this direction. So tell me a little bit about some of the projects you've got cooking on right now.
Of course. So I am the creator of CC is Dreaming. And then she is sort of my metaverse alter ego. She is a metaverse pop star. And then she sings and dance. She is an NFT personality, sing and dance and can interact with people. And then another project I'm working on right now is called Starseed DAO. And then so it's a DAO you can think of as an on-chain talent label. So it's a talent label, but instead of the, you know, executives instead of a very centralized approach, a top-down centralized approach, we are changing the artist development, IP management, and fan engagement to a decentralized bottom-up approach. So the meaning of DAO is people in the community, they get to decide where the organization is going to go. So instead of couple executives decide, okay, this is going to be the star we fund next. It's basically people comes together, they vote on the next star they wanted to fund and using the community's treasury to fund the artist through the artist development process.
So this is a little bit of a play off of, you know, let's go ahead and talk about the talent competitions that are on TV that everybody knows, the American Idol, The Voice, those types of shows where you've got that voting aspect of it. However, on those talent competitions, they're still getting signed to that still typical label that still is what you're kind of saying. It's like, cool, community helps vote who they want to see elevated, but you're saying the community also takes a bigger role into where the funding goes and what gets driven, not just by, you know, getting voted in and then the same producers, the same companies, the same labels, you know, control it again. So yours is that next step.
Yeah, exactly. So our mission is to create like a decentralized autonomous organization where community can own, participate and create, you know, artists and character-based IP, and that becomes as culturally relevant, you know, as I would say Mickey Mouse or as, you know, Ariana Grande, as like Justin Bieber, those type of, like, we're creating the star, but through the community. Yes.
No kidding. So where in the heck did you build kind of your groundwork into, you know, some of the more, you know, cutting edge, the newest technologies that are out there now? And where did your inspiration come from? So you're a musician. Are you a vocalist?
Yes, I'm a singer-songwriter. Yes.
And how long have you been doing the singer-songwriter thing?
Well, all my life, I was a singer since I was 3 years old. I started writing songs since I was 9 years old. And then when I came to the United States, when around 12 years old, I actually worked with a person in the Michael Jackson family. We were working on two records. But it didn't end up releasing because my family doesn't want me to go through that route. I came from a pretty traditional Chinese family background, and then a career as an artist has never been seen as a good choice. And then sure. To be honest, I don't think they were wrong. It is really hard to make it in the industry, you know?
Oh, very few do. And yeah. How much do you actually have the opportunity to make money in the current system? And, you know, you hear about a lot of artists trying to self-promote using YouTube, using the social platforms to launch their own music, maintain ownership of their own music, and yeah. do it that way, create their own tours, book their own shows, etc. Where do you find that being different than what you're doing, the self-promotion? Because it's the self-promotion and the self-marketing is very prevalent right now in music. But where's that difference with what you're doing, where if an artist has their own music, such as yourself, mm-hmm. what would be the difference of you going to a YouTube or other social platforms? TikTok is obviously doing a lot where you're hearing about musicians in 60-second song clips that they wrote, and all of a sudden these are the new up-and-coming artists because everybody's, you know, all over TikTok right now. Where do you see what you're doing, like, kind of take it? What are those next steps to get people to know about it and kind of, I guess, buy into the concept?
Definitely. So we're already progressing from a very traditional way where we're, the artists, the only way for them to get heard is to go through the gatekeepers so they can get on TV shows. And then with Web 2, with YouTube, with TikTok, with all these kind of new medium comes up, artists get a chance to get in front of the audience without these gatekeepers. But still, the problem is they are getting connected directly on only information level, not on the value level. So what I mean by artists drive massive traffic to all these streaming platforms. But then fans are supporting these artists and by viewing their content, but then neither of them are getting the profit. The profit is being extracted by the platform to sell to the advertisers, basically.
Right, because there is the capability of monetizing. But you're saying the monetizing that you've got to really have a strong following to start to monetize on those platforms. And even when you monetize, it's a small fraction of what they should be getting based on, you know, the platforms themselves.
Exactly. And then, you know, streaming is not a way to make a living. I think everybody can make sure unless you have millions of followers.
Right.
And then that is rare, you know, like it's one.
Absolutely.
Taylor
Swift could do it now, but she probably couldn't have done it right out of the gate. I mean, you know, Bieber was, you know, big on YouTube, but not big. You know, he wasn't monetizing on his YouTube, you know, channels and songs. It took, but that's how he got seen, but it's not how he was making money.
Yes, exactly. So that's the problem with the current model, you know, like artists can only use their content as a means to the end. So like their content is not directly driven, directly profiting. They have to use their content to attract people's attention and then sell some other goods and services. So it's just mainly a means to the end to sell like live ticket concert or merchandise or t-shirts, you know,
that. So what does it take for an artist to determine that they want to do this? And like, what's that step that they have to do? I mean, because this is not something that most musicians are probably comfortable with or know about or understand. How do they stick their toe in the water to see if it's comfortable to them and if it makes sense? And how protected is their music through the process?
Yes, exactly. So the difference with Web3 and NFT, the technology is because of NFT, because of this technology, it used to be like all of our digital content, we cannot verify the authenticity and the rarity of it. It's just like, you know, you can have 1,000 copies of Mona Lisa's printed on your wall, but it doesn't worth anything. you know, compared to the real one. But then the problem with digital was the Web 2 is like, it gives artists a way to have exposure and audience, but then it also takes away the rarity and then the authentication part of the art. They can use to sell albums, okay, that's copies. But right now people can just listen to them for free on the website, and then just, there's no motivation for people to actually buy it. And then even you buy it, it's just an MP3, right? You can just download it. But
so Cynthia, really quick question, because I want to, because of the NFT concept of the originality, I want to kind of ask this question now, because that's kind of where you're at in the response.
Mm-hmm.
Is it okay if there's an artist right now that is very popular on TikTok, has a bunch of subscribers on YouTube for their original music, would they, entering the metaverse aspect, would they need to only launch new music on that, or could they take with them music that's already been out on other social platforms, or do they have to just take everything brand new and launch it there so it still has that NFT kind of, you know, that authenticity and that originality aspect of it? Does it have to be brand new, or can they bring some songs with them?
They can bring songs with them, because the thing about that is still the same, right? They just basically selling an authentication of the thing. And then, but the music is still on web. It's not like, oh, you own this piece of music and then nobody else can listen to it. That's
right.
Took away the
logic,
the purpose of
artists
creating art, right? It's for people to enjoy it. But then like what it's add is add on a different layer. It add on the authenticity. For example, all those Bored Apes out there, you can just download it and then put it as your profile picture. But unless you own the actual authentication in your digital wallet, you're not the owner of that.
I love
you
that.
Know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. Is the metaverse, and help me understand it, because I'm not completely locked into it right now. I love this podcast because I'm learning every aspect of what you're talking about from scratch right here. So in the metaverse, you can buy aspects of real estate. You can, like, there's aspects of the metaverse.
Yes.
Is it possible to open a music venue within the metaverse that artists play in?
Yes. That's a lot of people are planning to do that. And I think there are people already doing that right now. That's something I'm definitely going to do with Starseed, with CC in the future. Yeah.
That's fantastic. I mean, how long do you think it will take for this to become a little bit more mainstream? And who's out there really screaming from the mountaintops that it even is a thing to consider as part of a strategy for a musician?
I think a lot of people in the industry are already doing this. And then right now you can see all these people, all these builders, they're building the platform for artists, for musicians to basically be able to monetize easily through Web3 technology, through NFTs, through tokenization. And then you can see all those VC is coming in, and then the money is coming in to help build this economy. So I will foresee it's not very, very long. Probably is it already pretty big, I would say, in the community, but I don't see it longer than 2 years when it pushes into the mainstream. Yeah.
I love it. So what made you, what were you doing before this that just kind of made you say, I want to take this, I want to be part of taking something to that next level? What were you doing before this? I know you're a singer-songwriter, but what, you know, did you go to school? You know, what's the rest of you all about?
Yes, I can give you a quick rundown about my story, my life.
Hit me a little bit with that journey.
Yes. So it's like when I, like, told you last, when I came to the United States at 12, you know, I actually did some songs with a member in the Michael Jackson families, but it didn't get released because my family, you know, they don't want me to become an artist. And then when I was age 15, I was elected to the SM Entertainment in Korea to become a part of the K-pop band, basically. Okay. And then it was the same problem. Like my family doesn't want me to go. And then I didn't end up going. And then when I was age 18, I wanted to went back to China and become a, you know, like artist, actor, you know, and then it's still the same. My family was strongly against it. So I have to ended up going to UC Irvine and then I'll decide on the clear. So because I have no fucking idea why I was there. I become kind of really depressed too, but I was depressed since I was 10 years old because of this dream and reality kind of struggle. I kind of know, you know, from the family, from the society, okay, that's not something I was supposed to be doing.
Well, and let's face it, you're 10 years old and picturing a dream. Then you're 12, you moved to the United States and to a massive city that is, I mean, it's just crazy what Los Angeles can be just to your sensory. It's just like everything's going crazy. You know, there's so much happening. Yeah. And then to be trying to just find where your passion can take you and then fighting the internal struggle of family acceptance of a career path, et cetera. I mean, you went through, that's a lot of challenge for a younger person. That's just a lot.
Yeah. That is part of the journey, I guess. And then it's just for me, there's a lot of stuff besides that part. I had my spiritual journey coming up too, you know, like during 2018, I was in a spiritual awakening. So like through that awakening, I realized that my mission in this lifetime on Earth is to help Earth with the transition process. We're transitioning from a 3D reality to a 5D reality. And then we're transitioning during this transition. How can we make sure that the world, we're basically rebuilding all the rules. We're like at the beginning of a big bang. How can we make sure that we're rebuilding the rules towards love, towards inclusivity, towards understanding, towards win-win situation instead of a more separation, more prejudice, more fear-based kind of rule. And then I was thinking about that, and it's really funny that during 2018, I was just went to the airport. I usually pick up a book before I get on the plane just to read it. And then that time I was picking up a book about blockchain. And I heard about the terms quite a while because of the whole 2017 ICO, like boom, you know, like, and then, but I never had time to look into it. So I just pick up the book. At the time I was actually in the music red light management. As music management. So going back to my own story a little bit is that when I went to college, because my family didn't want me to do music, but I still kind of sneak in through the back door. I start hosting events with other schools, like start hosting all these big DJ parties. We host Bass Jackers, Marshmallow, Jaws, like Rehab, Kashmir, all these big DJs. We did all those big music events like on the school level, and later I took these artists back in China to host like EDM like festivals, like EDM like events for artists. So I did event planning for about 2 years. I still sneak in through the back door. And then I went back to the United States. I started to be getting into the music management side of things. So I was at Red Light Management, and that's when I first read about blockchain. And then I was music manager for about 2 years, and then I become my own artist for 2 years. So that's like my own journey. But then during 2018, while I was still at Red Light, I read about that book. And then when I started reading about the book, I was like, oh my God, this is the solution for a united Earth, basically.
Yep.
Like through the blockchain technology, we can truly become one global citizen instead of, you know, like being separated in different cages built by the different politics and communities. We're truly building a decentralized global scale kind of economy. Right. Because like the internet helped the world comes together as one on the information level.
Right.
But blockchain technology, Web3, can help the Earth economy comes into one on the value level.
Right.
Yes. Yes. And then when I read about that, I was like, this can definitely change the way, you know, fans and can definitely change the way, you know, the creators and fans to be able to interact with each other and connect with each other without someone stuck in the middle, basically.
So, and then, how long from 2018 when you were doing that to just going for it and starting it on your own, and how long have you been doing it?
It's been, so I actually, like, it took a while, you know, like when I first read sure. about it, I went to the Draper University and I started learning about the technology. At the time I was talking about how I think blockchain technology can help all the content creators. And I think I still have a footage from back in the 2018, I was like talking about that, you know, it's really funny, but at the time the technology wasn't mature yet.
Right.
And then like, you know, I'm not a technology person. Yeah.
You understand. So like, you understand what the technology can bring, and using it as yeah. a tool, you're not necessarily writing it.
Yes. So at the time, the technology wasn't mature. There's no enough infrastructure, I would say, to build this type of economy yep. we can build right now with the NFTs. So I would just basically went back to my music management stuff, went back to my own music stuff, and then, you know, I'm a holder of the cryptocurrency, hold for many years. And then not until, I would say, this year, I started to look back into the technology because the NFT booming was coming up, and then I start reading about these things, and I start getting back into the crypto community, and then not until this year. So I start the project, the whole project idea, I started October, so it's pretty recent, yeah. But then not until this year, I start coming back into the space and start looking like what's the more tangible way for me to get involved.
And how have you, so you can build a social community, but mm-hmm. do you have mentors that you meet with, people that you've helped you create this?
Oh yeah, I have very good friends. I would say I'm really, really lucky. I have good friends in both like the crypto blockchain community and a lot of good friends in the entertainment community. They all comes together helping me with this mission I received from God. Yes. Yeah.
So what is next? Like what's your personal goal as far as are you going to try to build your own community of artists that you're helping to manage through this? Are you focused on, like, what's your main focus and goal of taking this to the next level with what you've created so far?
Okay, yes. So for Starseed DAO, I'm basically creating an entertainment platform and then utilizing the Web3 technology, utilizing blockchain technology. So fans and artists, they can have a better engagement. So I'm revolutionizing the artist development, IP management, and fan engagement through decentralized autonomous organization governance and token economics.
Are you out there scouting musicians, reaching out to musicians and introducing yourself and say, hey, come on over, take a look at this. I'd like to, you know, talk to you about it. Is that part of it?
I would say I have a pretty good friend network. So I'm not really worried about that. Yep. Well, at this moment, what I'm focusing on is to test the idea with CC. So yep. I wanted to test with CC to see if I build a community, if I make CC the first community-owned artist character, and then build a DAO around her, and then how does she and her fans gonna be interacting? You know,
because that's almost a test market side of things, so that you can, you know, succeed and have your, you know, your roadblocks, your challenges, and you can kind of work through all that, because it's not, you can think it's going to work this way, but until you put yeah. it out there, you know, it could go a few different directions like everything does. So
yes.
What a great idea. I mean, you're going to experience every aspect of it.
So yeah, so CC is going to be the proof of concept I'm yeah. testing out. And then at the same time, like I say, I'm building Starseed DAO. I'm just having a really good network, helping me with the idea, with the tokenization part of it, with the token economics. That part is still incubating, I would say. And then while I'm testing CC, in the market with CC's NFT release. I'm incubating this idea and then building a team for this, the DAO side of things. And then, so after I can prove the model with CC is going to work, I'm going to start building this platform with, you know, engineers, with all the resources. And then with the platform, I can starting helping other musicians, helping other artists to get the metaverse. So that's the term I'm inventing. It's called metaverse artist. It means artists first, they are establishing their metaverse identity, and then they're representing by their metaverse identity, or they just have like a metaverse version of themselves in the metaverse, doing the concert, doing all kinds of things. And then the second is these artists, they're adopting Web3 monetization. So they're co-creating and co-owning their creation with their fans and the community. So it's becoming their fans and their community create this extendable and composable, like creative universe with the artist together. So that's what I mean by a metaverse, the artist. Yeah.
That's fantastic. This is not going to be cheap. Are you going to self-fund? Are you bringing on partners? Like, what does that look like to you as you kind of move forward?
Yes. So right now I have some good angels helping me, like supporting the Star Seed DAO idea. Yep. And then at the same time, I'm building CC's first NFT collection. And then I'm going to reveal that very soon. And then I'm planning with the CC NFT collection, I'm going to test the market with CC's stuff and then raise through the community, like raise through the fans of her, raise through people who believe in her story, wanted to support her. So that is my plan with the CC side. And then with the Starseed DAO side, after I can prove CC's model, and then with all the angels, I'm planning to, like I say, I already have a pretty good team, and I'm just planning with CC's model, I'm going to take Starseed DAO to my other friends. And then they're in the both crypto industry, they're both in the entertainment industry, and then to see if they wanted to support with like VC funds, basically. Or I might go through the community route also. So it's still TBD, but
power. Right.
I think what I'm gonna do is both. Like with CC, I'm definitely gonna go through the community route.
Right.
Because I want her to be a community owned character. But with Starseed DAO, I might implementing a idea about progressive decentralization. Because you know, with the platform, you kind of need people to make decisions quickly to make it
correct.
Build a product, build the MVP, build the first iteration, and then later I will slowly take out the control, make it more and more decentralized. So it's a progressive decentralization model that's been written by the A16Z and the A16Z website also. So it's a really good model. I think that's what I'm gonna follow for Starseed DAO. Yes.
Well, Cynthia, I cannot thank you enough. This has been, no doubt, one of the most interesting cutting edge podcasts I've ever been part of, and your knowledge within it, your passion within it, and being a musician yourself, this has got to be so exciting for you. I'm really excited to see what's next for you, and thank you so much for being part of the Interstate of Music podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Jeff.
Absolutely. Take care.